How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It's Sean Rossap. It is October 7th, 2024. We are sandwiched in between quite a few shows. AEW Dynamite will be on Tuesday this week. I'll tell you more about our post-show plans for that coming up. But just two nights ago, myself and Mini Portable reviewed WWE Bad Blood. I promise I can say it.
Send your ass back to the developmental. Sean can't even cut a promo. You're out, bro.
Man, I'm done. This Saturday, I'm doing a solo review of AEW's Wrestle Dream. We have Stephanie Chase doing predictions on Wednesday. I did just mention AEW will be on Tuesday this week. We're going to have a bit of a throwback review on that. The first hour will be an NXT review, and then Alexis Cardoza will be joining and doing an AEW review. Make sure you guys tune in. I'm going to be sending a lot of backstage news in from there as well. But by golly, we're here right now. Two-hour WWE Raw, the first in a long time. Denise, how you feeling? Before I give some people maybe a little bit of behind-the-scenes info on why this is happening.
Well, I mean, I feel good. It kind of feels weird, though. Like, doesn't it feel weird? Like, we're on right now.
Yeah.
It feels like I should probably be waiting, like, a whole extra hour to sit and chat with you. So, yeah, it does feel a little weird. It flew by really, really fast. There was still a shit ton of commercials, though. I felt like there was way more commercials on this two-hour set of Raw than we normally see on 2 hours of SmackDown. Maybe it's just because we're not used to it. But yes, you can definitely notice a lot of the changes that were made just in terms of like the flow of the rundown of the show. Like there were certain things that we got so many more picture in pictures. And I don't know if that's how it's always been, but I definitely noticed it today. So I was just noticing a lot of movement. Like even just like in the first segment, we saw all of these people in like 15 minutes. We saw Sexy Red, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, Jey Uso, all of that before we even got to the first commercial break. So you are noticing little tweaks here and there in terms of how they're putting down the show.
Guys, I'll encourage you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, the best $5 in the business or $54 a year in the business. You can also subscribe to other tiers where you have early access to interviews, but get news sent to you directly. I'm going to talk about the two-hour Raw element, what's going to happen moving forward, and perhaps some of the reason why they're doing this. So today on Fightful, I had reported that today was a double taping because a lot of people were asking. I confirmed it was. And this isn't going to be the last one, Denise. They've got another one coming up. And then one after that. So they've got like three double tapings coming up. I'm about to go on the air at 7:57 with Eric Bischoff and give away all their results. Oh, wait, we already do that on FightfulSelect.com. We got next week's rundown if you guys want it. But Denise, obviously this was a bit of bonus time for WWE with the USA Network. They had to bridge the gap between October and January for the Netflix special. By the way, lots of news on the Netflix debut on Fightful Select. It will be at the Intuit Dome in LA. Enjoy that, Denise. I'm sure you won't be here that night.
I don't know. It depends. I might still be here because, bro, I don't want to go to the Intuit Dome. There's so much traffic.
You can take a shuttle. You can do the shuttle there.
You think I'm going to take the shuttle?
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what happens in those shuttles here, Sean?
I don't know. Stuff that broke bitches do. I don't know. But anyway, we reported that they're going to try to make it a big buzzworthy show. It's going to be in a beautiful new venue. But the two-hour episodes of Raw, you can't double tape three-hour Raws. It's not nearly as easy to do that. But this week, they're in St. Louis, so they started at 7 local time. You can double tape two-hour episodes of Raw, and they're going to have to do that as they've got two international tour legs and then the Saudi show coming up, and they like to get the Saudi crew over there much earlier. So we're going to have a lot more details on that. We have more details on Netflix and Raw, but there was an interesting note that Triple H had this weekend because a lot of people were saying, oh, well, it's definitely going back to 3 hours. I asked WWE what the SmackDown runtime would be because there was a gap at one point that indicated it might be 3 hours. They said, nope, it's two. Then when I asked them, so Raw's going back to 3 hours, right? They didn't say anything. They didn't answer me at all in that. And usually they want their programming notes to be well known. They want people to know how long their shows are going to be. Go ahead, Denise.
Well, that was my question to Triple H this past weekend. At Bad Blood, I asked him about, Raw moving for the rest of the year being 2 hours. And then I asked what the duration of Raw is going to look like on Netflix. And Triple H said that when he finds out, he'll let everybody else know. So he kind of made it seem like that is still up in the air. So I guess, just take his word for it for right now and see what happens. So that's the way they made it seem like it's still up in the air.
Yeah. And I think that is a situation that obviously they are going to probably sort of assess. Now, the one person that I spoke to said that at least their hunch was, well, maybe it'll vary. Maybe sometimes it'll be like 3 hours, 10 minutes. Maybe sometimes it'll be 2 hours, 40 minutes. But one talent I talked to said, just hope it means our time doesn't get cut anymore. And oh boy, did we see the product of a 2 hour WWE Raw tonight. First off, I want to thank our moderator, Luis. He says, J.M. Milligrito says, I think I watch Monday night ads instead of Raw. Oh, yeah. Meet Norma says, tonight felt like WWE punted, which Jaden Daniels doesn't do often. Got my first fantasy win thanks to Burrow and Chase Brown. Well, let me tell you, I'm still looking for the Bengals' second win. And it's not Joe Burrow's problem. It's our defense's problem. But I don't think they punted tonight, Denise. They had a world title match. They had Cody Rhodes on the show. They had CM Punk on the show. They had an Intercontinental title match. They had a Donnybrook match. I didn't feel like they punted whatsoever. I didn't think this was a spectacular Raw, but they promoted some important stuff for this.
It was a decent show. It just wasn't a newsworthy show. And I think we've gotten very used to like coming out here and being like, this is the big headline for this show and followed by this. And we still got to talk about this. Whereas today's show, we got a lot of really good stuff. They're not super groundbreaking, but it was a decent show. And the main event I thought was phenomenal.
So reminder, guys, leave a thumbs up. Please subscribe. Lots of cool stuff here at youtube.com/Fightful. That means an awful lot to us, but kicked off with Sexy Red. I am not a Sexy Red fan, and I am not.
Look like you'd be a Sexy Red fan.
I'm 100% not a Sexy Red fan at all. Like, and listen, I am not an anti-rap person. I love the Megan Thee Stallion song. I love Killer Mike, who they featured yesterday. I am as far from a Sexy Red fan as you could get, and I don't get it.
What I want to know is, for example, when there's other people that come in that I may not know about, but I know that they have like fans that may want to go in and find out about the person. Here's my question: is Sexy Red bringing in any viewers? Legit, like, are people oh my god, I want to watch because Sexy Red is on.
Tonight because they didn't promote her, but I mean, like, I'm sure there will be some people that share the clip and all that. I will say this:
I don't know if she's as popular as they think she is right now.
The rap station I listen to locally, it plays the song she did with Drake, "You My Everything." It is sincerely one of the worst songs I have ever heard in my entire life.
How does that one? I know I've heard two of her songs.
Well, let me tell you, Denise, if you were to sing it right now, you would sing it better than her. And somebody's telling me she's from St. Louis. That makes sense. I mean,
it's promoting her for NXT.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I mean, like, and I get why you would have her on those shows, especially in that geographical area. But I mean, she's objectively a big star. I understand why they do it. But yeah,
I don't know, bro. It's been a long, you know me, I'm all up on these like Pop Crave websites. Let me tell you, I don't think I've seen anything Sexy Red posted on those websites like in a really long time, which tells me that she's not really doing anything too like mainstream newsworthy. I don't know. Maybe they just haven't posted about her, so I haven't seen anything.
I don't know. I understand why they have her on there, but like,
but there's gotta be more people.
Love Metro Boomin, who was on Bad Blood. I mean, really great. But and again, when I heard that Megan Thee Stallion was doing the SmackDown theme, I was stoked because I love Megan Thee Stallion too, but Sexy Red, not my thing. I don't know how she is as like a human being or anything like that, but my God, that I just keep thinking of that Drake song. Not great. Not great.
I'm gonna go again because I know I've heard it.
I will not let anything.
What's it called again?
You My Everything. Do not play it on the air. We will
play it on the everything.
Well, anyway, CM Punk came out. He's hobbling. He's saying that even though he won at WWE Hell in a Cell, by the way, guys, I should have mentioned, get your super chats, get your humper chats in, humperchats.com or here at youtube.com/Fightful. But hey, if you're one of the thousands of people who are watching us on Twitter/X right now, it would mean a lot if you guys sent a super chat or a humper chat as well. But CM Punk cuts a promo and he says he really doesn't feel like he was winning that match. And said, you know, there's a lot of people I got to thank. It's my fans and my haters. And to his haters, he said, why do you doubt me? And listen, this comes from a guy who spends a lot of time on his haters on Twitter. CM Punk spends a lot of time on his haters in his Raw promos. Like, I mean, a whole lot. It is a lot. I saw Abu post a thing on Wrestle Purist. He's like, man, if Dave Meltzer gives him 4.5 stars, CM Punk will come out and cut a promo about 4.5 something and nobody will get it. Nobody will understand the joke, but he'll make the joke regardless. Punk says that he's going to take some time off, doesn't know when he's going to be back. I think it's pretty clear dude doesn't want to work Saudi, and I wouldn't want to either. After some of the things he had said about the Saudi Arabia shows, how did this promo come off to you?
Well, first of all, I wasn't even expecting to see CM Punk here tonight, if I'm going to be honest. I thought, oh, well, you know, after Hell in a Cell, it's probably going to be a minute or two until we see either Drew or CM Punk, especially because we didn't really have like a clear indication of what either one of those two guys is going to do next. Like, if you're asking me, like, what's Drew McIntyre going to do next? I have no idea what these two guys are going to do next, right? Well, at least up until today,
because we didn't get a tease. 16 staples in his head, we reported on Fightful.
Yeah, I saw that. It almost looked like he lost a bunch of hair just based off of like the stitches, how it looked in that photo. But that's the thing though. So we did get that tease with CM Punk and Seth Rollins. And I think like, even though we had Seth Rollins kind of butt his nose into this feud with Drew and Punk, which to me, I still don't think was really needed, but whatever, fine, whatever. We already got it. Move on from that. But we still never have gotten the full implosion of CM Punk and Seth Rollins. And so I don't know if they're going to kind of put a pause on that and wait until we get a little closer to WrestleMania to maybe rebuild that back up, you know, light a fire under that story once again, so that maybe we can get the WrestleMania match that we were supposed to see at 40 happen at WrestleMania 41 instead. So we'll see what they do there. But I feel like right now, that kind of feels like the direction we might go into. I'm wondering if we're going to get that Ethan Page CM Punk match. I thought for a second that we might see it. And then I thought, oh, it's not going to happen. And then later again in the night, I thought it was going to happen. And then now I'm thinking it's not going to happen again. So I've kind of gone back and forth on that. But right now with Seth moving on to the Bronson Reed stuff, that gives them some time until, you know, CM Punk comes back and they can, again, relight the fire there with Seth and CM Punk once we get into WrestleMania season.
So Seth did come out and faced off with CM Punk and said, get well soon. That way you can come back and I can whip your ass and retire you for good. And he maniacally laughed, which I did like. The Punk thing, it's very clear they were writing him off for a little bit. But Will says, love that Seth talks about Cody teaming with Roman. I mean, it's just good to see Seth back, first off. But this is what I like on these two-hour shows. Seth Rollins comes out, and even though we don't see Bronson Reed, we hear about Bronson Reed. So his storyline advances. And that's how I feel like WWE is going to have to get a little bit more creative on Raw with the roster that they have. You can't feature everybody every week. And you're not going to. I mean, later on we saw Judgment Day show up and then leave. But you'll have to get a little bit creative with that. What did you think of how they advanced this, so to speak, with Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed?
Right. They did a lot here because it was, okay, Seth comes out. He has that stare down with CM Punk. That's one. He goes into the ring and he addresses Bronson Reed. Okay, that's two. We already knew that one. Cool. And then Jey Uso comes out and is getting ready for his match. But during that time, Seth Rollins just doesn't, you know, disappear into thin air. No, he stays there in the ring and has this little moment there with Jey Uso. So to me, I take that as three. To me, that was a tease right there. So I feel like in that like short period of time, they kind of indicated to us like, hey, this might be happening. This might be happening. This is definitely happening. And so that was one of the things that I noticed in terms of the flow of the show, was how they kind of had a couple of things overlapping to give you a little bit more substance in the storytellings and the storytelling and the feuds that were going to be seen, but also not completely giving things away and then, you know, moving at a faster pace.
CC Bonbon says, atmosphere in the press room when Triple H was asked that question.
Oh, this was me. Because I was sitting down recording, and you know, sometimes like I tweeted stuff, and then I heard the question. I was like, whoop, bam, start recording with my phone. I don't got time to wait to get home and clip this shit out. Oh, I was like, literally recording. But I think everybody, like if you were listening to that live, unfortunately, I think everybody knew at what point it kind of started to go south a little bit.
We get another vignette. Spoiler, cover your ears for about 15 seconds if you don't want to be spoiled. It's the Viking Raiders, who are once again the War Raiders. Fightful Select confirmed. They are probably in the ring wrestling right now on the next set of tapings. I'll give you guys another bit of spoilers here. They're going to announce a tag team contender tournament on Raw for next week. Glad to see that. But backstage, we see Karrion Kross talking to Miz, who says, I'm not a part of Final Testament, by the way. And Karrion Kross is like, you know, just hear us out a little bit. And then R-Truth shows up. And R-Truth is like, hey, man, just so you know, I'm not a part of Judgment Day anymore. You didn't have to attack me. And somehow even I was surprised that R-Truth did this one. And then he's like, wait, you did that on purpose? Like it's so far beyond R-Truth that this would happen. And he goes, don't worry, man. I'm going to go to Adam Pearce and get a match set up for you, which is why Miz turned on him to begin with. Then Miz flipped out and he's like, nope, me and you next week. How'd you feel about R-Truth here? I rather enjoyed this. I enjoyed this a lot more than I'm going to enjoy the match next week.
Yeah, so next week, R-Truth versus The Miz. Yeah, that's going to be whatever it is. But no, R-Truth was pretty funny in this. I'm really trying to not let this, like, here's the thing. We're talking about a two-hour show right now, which means that you better be putting the most finest storytelling you possibly can, right? Kind of eliminate some of the things that you're not really all that invested in. And so to me, I just feel like there's better things that you can do on the show than spending 30 seconds with a sexy red intro and seeing this feud here with R-Truth and The Miz. It's just not doing anything for me. I know why they're doing it. Of course, they have to. I get it. But I just feel like there's other things on the show that could probably just be more interesting than what we're getting here. This feels like really, this doesn't feel like the quality of the program. It doesn't match the quality of the program with everything else we're getting. So I'm trying, Sean, to not completely hate this. I'm trying, but it's not really doing anything for me. Okay. It's
I'd
not.
Say, I thought that this team was good for the moment of winning the tag titles. And had they won or lost them on the Raw following WrestleMania, I'd have been like, yeah, cool. We saw the moment. That's fine. I definitely didn't need a multi-month run. I definitely didn't need a big split. Just didn't need it. Just did not need it. Raquel is driving Dominic and Liv. Tatum says, Sean, if Tiffy cashes in during the Nia Liv match at Crown Jewel and turns it into a triple threat, what happens? Well, would one or both of the titles become on the line, and would one of the champions potentially win the other? Could Tiffy get the new belt too?
So you're saying she can come away with the championship? She can come away with three championships?
That is a fantastic question. That is a phenomenal question that I hope they bring up. And another little spoiler that Fightful Select broke. Tiffany Stratton is at the Raw tapings right now. She's going to be on the show next week.
Are they going to tease Tatum that she might have? They might do a segment where they tease that she's actually going to come for Liv, just to kind of spook Liv a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, they definitely are, because she's wrestling Liv.
What?
Yeah. Next week is, I mean, listen, we just, if you watch this show, you know what we do. That's it's going to be Rhea and Stratton against Liv and Raquel is the plan for that show.
Wait, say that again. Rhea and Stratton.
Uh-huh. Versus Liv and Raquel is the plan for that show.
Oh, tag team match.
I mean, the only way is if they say for this match, out of respect to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, you can't cash it in type of thing. You know what I mean? Like,
no, no, because look here. Okay, think about it. If you're Tiffany Stratton, if I'm Tiffany Stratton, if everybody here in the chat is Tiffany Stratton, wouldn't you want to cash in when you can get the most money?
Yes.
It's like when you go to Vegas, you cash out when you get the most amount of money. That's what it feels like. If you're Tiffany Stratton, I'm going to go in and cash in when I can get the most out of my bang for my buck. And I didn't even know that. I didn't even think about that. Now I feel like she has to.
I mean, that is
like she left a lot of money on the table.
That is a brilliant, brilliant question. And it's something I hope they got it brought up. Andy, I am very sorry, my friend. I will not do any more spoilers.
Yeah, me too. I'm mad too, Sean, because I wasn't expecting it either. And I have no option to cover my ears.
DJ Rocco says Liv equals Sean, Raquel equals Big Mommy Cool Diesel. Yeah, I do. I feel like that one successful version has been overdone an awful lot, though. But and I see somebody saying Tiffany Stratton shouldn't be a babyface. Tell the crowd that, buddy. Tell the crowd that, because the crowd loves her.
Is there a chance? Now, am I crazy? Please tell me if I'm going too extreme. But do you think that Dominic is gonna like start falling for Raquel and move on from Liv to Raquel?
I hope.
Because he did it to Rhea, so wouldn't he do it to Liv?
Yeah, I mean, yes, of course he would.
That's what I'm saying. Course. What if that's just Dom's thing? He just
goes yeah.
from woman.
Anybody
to woman
who gives
to
him
woman.
Attention.
Exactly. Exactly. Like he would be like the ultimate like scum for that. So yeah, I kind of want to see him like slowly start to be like, not right now, but like once we get more deep into it, we'll see.
Guys, get in your super chats and humper chats, as our friend Yana did. Says, unlike Dom, Raquel can actually put her hands on other women. Already loving this dynamic. Also, I need Dom and Raquel bickering in Spanish like annoying siblings with Liv being peacemaker. I mean, they did do the thing where they showed up and then they left. They are on the next show. But I'm interested in this trio. I wonder if Raquel is a part of Judgment Day or not. I mean, I think she would.
Obviously she was wearing black, but she always wears black.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
She had the shades on. Maybe that makes her a little bit more serious. I actually liked her with the shade. She was just standing there being all silent. I liked that. And I was dying when I saw that they had her as a chauffeur. I was dying when I saw her driving the car. I don't know why it was funny.
Well, no more spoilers from next week's Raw. You can go to FightfulSelect.com and get those. But next week, WWE is in the UK. They're in Saudi Arabia next month. But you can be wherever you want virtually with NordVPN.com/Fightful. It is especially helpful during football season. You can change your virtual location with one click and then watch the local channels in whatever market you're in or you want to be in, and check out those football games. Right now, you get an exclusive deal, a mega discount, plus 4 extra months at NordVPN.com/Fightful. And if you're traveling to any of these shows, you can listen to your favorites and watch your favorite shows abroad. When I went to the UK last year, that was a saving grace for me because I would try to just use it without my VPN. Couldn't watch them. Turned on NordVPN, changed my virtual location back to Kentucky. I was good to go. You can also protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. So if you're in the airport, at the event, anything like that, you want to make sure that you're protected on that unsecured Wi-Fi. When I'm at the Bengals game like I was yesterday, I hook up to their free jungle Wi-Fi, but I got NordVPN on there because I want to make sure that my device is protected. And it's available for all your devices. Go to NordVPN.com/Fightful. Check it out. It's a wonderful service. 30-day money-back guarantee. So if maybe you want to make the jump and you go, I don't know if I'll like it, 30-day money-back guarantee. No hassle there. And they got 24/7 support in case you need it, in case you need to learn how to use it. And a ton of features that I haven't even mentioned. But when you go to NordVPN.com/Fightful, they'll get you up to date on all those. PLE seems strange to say, only for WWE. Why, says Terry Allen? Because it's not a pay-per-view. It's not a single purchase pay-per-view. So that's why they went with the premium live event moniker. Yeah. DJ Rocco says, well, here you go, Denise. This one's a U. I can't pronounce that.
This one's a U.
This one's for
Dos
you.
Mujeres un camino. Ha ha.
There you go.
Come on, Sean. You're the host of the show. You know, you got, it doesn't matter what language we get them in. You need to start.
Jey Uso defeated Xavier Woods. This match went a whopping 6 minutes with a commercial. We're going to talk about another match shortly that did that. I can't say that I was expecting this. Now, I don't mind 6 minute matches. I think you need to vary up the match length and all that stuff, even in title matches. But there was nothing for me to get into for this match because.
Wait, which match are we on?
Xavier Woods losing to Jey Uso for the Intercontinental title. Because during the match, and we'll talk about what happened after, during the match, this was the first indication of, 2 hour WWE Raw. This is what we're getting. We're going to get the entrances. We're going to get about a minute of action. We're going to get a 3 minute commercial. They'll come back and do the finish. And as a result, I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, this was unfortunate because this was definitely a match that, you know, if you did get the normal version of it, I think people would have definitely enjoyed it. But yeah, it was really what you just said right now, where we just saw the highlights of this match. Like, you could have watched this match on YouTube. You know how they do the little highlights on the WWE YouTube channel? This was literally the highlights of what we saw here. I'm not usually a viewer of picture in picture. I never watch picture in picture at all because I just can't get into to it at all. But anyways, I mean, really, the only thing to really get into about this is what happened afterwards. And I feel like it was pretty predictable. And it's a slow move, right? They're moving slowly with this Kofi Kingston, Xavier Woods. It's becoming a story that I think a lot of people are engaged in. I know it's one of the most interesting things on Raw right now. But yeah, they're slowly working their way there. And I thought the ending was pretty predictable with Xavier Woods denying Jey Uso the handshake. That was, what happened after that. I did like what happened after that too. But
also,
denying the handshake was good.
It's been announced that Jey Uso will be at NXT tomorrow night, by the way. So Kofi Kingston shakes Jey Uso's hand. Xavier Woods doesn't want anything to do with it. And Braun Breaker runs in and hits a spear on Jey Uso. I like this approach for Braun Breaker, where he was respectful last week, not this week. The reality is, man can do whatever the hell he wants, Denise. He can do whatever he wants. Who's going to stop him? But Kofi is like, no, come on, let's help him. And Xavier Woods is like, he don't want to be saved. Don't save him. He's not our business. Not our business. Well, Kofi gets speared. And then Braun hits a super spear around the ring on Xavier Woods. This will be followed up on next week. But, whew. This
I was a big fan of this, Sean.
This was an Xavier Woods versus Jey Uso match that featured Kofi Kingston outside, and the star of the match was Bron Breakker. That's how I felt about it.
Right, that's true, but it did do two things. One, it continued again.
Oh, I ain't mad at it. Bron Breaker's great.
And then the Bron Breakker thing, I was completely thrown. I was not expecting this whatsoever because last week he made his peace with Jey Uso. He came out there and he said, you were the better man that night. And they shook hands. And I thought, oh, wow. Okay. You know, I think all of us were expecting for Bron Breakker to attack him there or to do something crazy, to be really upset because he lost the title to Jey. I think a lot of us were expecting it last week. And when it didn't happen, they really made it seem like Bron Breakker had moved on to something else. Hell, we even got that.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots. And you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
A confrontation with him and Gunther. And now, all of a sudden, he comes out and spears Jey Uso. To me, that was pretty fun because it basically told us, like, well, you shouldn't trust Bron Breakker. And if you thought you were seeing hints of a babyface Bron Breakker, you were definitely not seeing that at all. And I kind of liked that they did that because I was not expecting it. So it sort of kind of it got me excited for what will happen here down the line. But yeah, so two different stories here that they kind of just, you know, used to morph into something else to continue both of those stories.
Yeah, to me, one of the things I think WWE does very well is they establish backstage like who's getting over and who the star of the program is. And I think that's something a lot of other companies could do better. And it is abundantly clear right now that Bron Breakker is getting over. Like Bron Breakker is a guy they're building to be the next guy. And that is very, very important to them. And I think that goes a long way. Oh, man. Sheamus and Pete Dunne. Now, I got to say this. After that first match that we saw tonight, I didn't have high hopes for this because I was like, man, is this one going to get knocked down to like 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes? No, it didn't, Denise. It was incredible. Especially, we
still got picture in picture for this
we
too.
We did. But listen, when I see the white noise off a bunch of kegs through a table to the outside, Jesus, Howard Christ, Denise, that was an incredible spot. I loved the finish. I don't know what that does for Pete Dunne. It ain't a good look when he.
I wanted Pete Dunne to win this match, and he got beat by a guy without his arms tied behind his back. That's what I was thinking. Great match, love Sheamus, but come on, Pete Dunne deserved this win.
I mean, yeah. Please expand on your thoughts before I do. I would love to hear it.
Oh well, I just said them, Sean.
That's all you got.
I shut myself up though. But here, look, Sean. To me, going into this, I have been feeling like Pete Dunne has been on a slow rise. Sometimes he kind of goes back down the ladder, but he's such a good wrestler, such a good performer, and he's interesting too, okay? He's very different from everybody else on the roster, so he piques your interest. Anyway, so he's been, you know, going back up, and he has been doing, you know, Raw and NXT. He did some stuff on NXT simultaneously the last couple of months. So personally, I have been wanting to see Pete Dunne really get his due here on the show. And when they were building this whole feud with him and Sheamus, I love Sheamus, but we've seen Sheamus at the top of the mountain. We've never seen Pete Dunne get to those types of levels. So I wanted to see Pete Dunne come out of this on top. And I thought it was very unique when he got him with the, when he tied him behind this, when he tied Sheamus with his the zip ties and tied his arms behind his back. I thought all of that was really great. And I thought, oh, there's no way Sheamus is defeating him now. The dude's got two arms tied behind his back, but he wasn't able to get the win. And so it was a great win for Sheamus. Don't get me wrong. Very, very cool. But Pete Dunne, man, he lost to a guy that tied his arms behind his back.
So that's where I am. I'm torn between this being a great finish and damn, Pete Dunne got beat by a guy who had his hands tied behind his back. And Pete Dunne was really wailing away at him, beat him with a cricket bat, hit him with the knee, zip tied him, all that stuff. And not only that, Sheamus kicked out with the zip ties on. Like,
that was cool too. Like,
that was, yeah. I mean, they went a long way. They must have some sort of plan moving forward for Sheamus. Otherwise, I think it was the perfect way to beat Sheamus, but also a pretty badass moment for Sheamus too. Like, yeah, as you look at that, but I am a little conflicted now. It is going to be one of those. I'm going to wait and see how this unfolded here, because a lot of great spots, really great action. Also, I'm like, oh, I did want Dunne to win, but we'll see how that works. But I'm with you.
What I hear is that we're not going to see Pete Dunne do anything right now. It's going to be like, oh, you're done with this program with Sheamus, and we're going to keep doing all, we're going to keep moving on. Who knows what else with Sheamus next, and we're not going to see Pete Dunne. That's where my fear is at, because he's not a guy that you often see on the show, and I feel like a lot of his storylines have been surrounded with the same person, which is Sheamus. Ideally, I would love it. I mean, like, instead of seeing R-Truth versus The Miz, why not put The Miz in the feud with, if you want to use The Miz, put him in there with Pete Dunne, someone who can benefit from from defeating The Miz and actually grow on the show. Hell, maybe even he could do something with Karrion Kross. You want to keep forcing this? Okay, cool. Put him in there with Pete Dunne. Pete Dunne could be like, yo, what the hell's going on with this weirdo guy? Like, I'm a real tough guy that's actually going to fight and not be talking in riddles and weird sentences. No, I'm going to fight. I feel like there's two different people that could kind of put something together. Who knows? I just feel like there's all these other options of what you can do with Pete Dunne. So hopefully they just don't, you know, have him disappear from the show, because he's very good.
I mean, I honestly think that would be kind of good if, like, Pete Dunne really refuted some of Karrion Kross's stuff there, and he gets his ass whooped not just by Kross but by AOP. And then Sheamus, after, you know, Sheamus has never had the problem with Pete. It's Pete who had the problem with Sheamus. Maybe Sheamus comes back to help him a little bit, because I could think of far worse things than AOP versus Sheamus and Pete Dunne. I think that would be a meat slapper right there, Denise.
Yeah, but see, now you've improved my point even further, because you said, you reminded me, Pete Dunne was the one with the problem with Sheamus. Yeah. So shouldn't Pete Dunne have won this just to like prove his point of him being
I do.
The man was calling him Butch when his name isn't even Butch now. So now him losing this match, he's going to have to go back to Butch. This is terrible. Well, great match, but now I'm kind of sad for Pete Dunne.
Ethan Page is backstage. He meets with Adam Pearce. Ava is there, of whom Adam Pearce calls Eva, but her name is Ava, I have learned. Ethan Page says that one of Adam Pearce's superstars, CM Punk, took it upon himself to be special ref and cost him his title. And Adam Pearce goes, well, I didn't book him. Ava booked him, although he called her Eva and her name is Ava. And well, to take it up,
Eva Rain.
Take it up with Ava, not Eva, and definitely not Ava Rain. I just like seeing Ethan Page here on Raw. I think before long he'll be up on Raw or SmackDown, and he'll do pretty well. Not a lot to this, but I was happy to see him. I was so happy to see him there.
Yeah, and I thought this was going to serve a purpose. I thought we were going to get some sort of indicator of like, huh, maybe we are going to see Ethan Page and CM Punk down the line. But no, it was interrupted by Sexy Red.
Oh, yeah.
I did like what she told him, though. I did like when she told him that, like, Trick Williams defeated him. That was good.
Yeah, that was. I mean, didn't think that she was bad in that stuff. But Tony says, what did you think about Triple H's I don't see color comment on how he books talent? Denise, what was the reaction like in the room? Well, Denise shared her reaction, but what was the reaction in the room like?
Everyone was just silent. I think everyone has sort of been through some people, it's hard to read, you know, it's really hard to read because I think some people are going to, everyone had a different reaction to that, Sean, where there are some people that are going to hear the answer and be like, okay, cool, understandable. And there's going to be other people that are going to hear that answer and be like, what the F? What's happening here? My thought when I heard that was, damn, I really wish that they would have maybe thought of something like, hey, if I'm going to get asked this question, maybe I should have something prepared and maybe have a couple of other people's input on how to properly answer a question like that, because then you don't want to look bad in front of people, especially when you are being like, especially when people on social media are saying this about you. That's the last thing you want. Like, you don't want people to like prove you right. If you don't want it, you know, obviously you don't want to be considered a racist or anything like that. So I feel like if I was in a position like that, I would, and having that kind of a title, I would try to, you know, think of something to say that and have other people maybe help me prepare like a proper statement to like address that properly. So, you know, just to make it easier because you are representing the company. And so, yeah, it was one of those things where I think the second where he said, I don't see color, that was the moment where I knew like, oh, this is not going to go well in terms of how this is going to be taken.
Yeah. And Cody, while in AEW, answered that question, I think perfectly, where he mentioned that he said that to his wife one time and she said, well, then you don't see my experience because you don't understand what I've been through and you're not taking that into account. And he elaborated on how there was the old territory rule of just one black talent, and that's the one in the territory. And he said, we're so far beyond that now. And that is a legitimate concern. I know that in pro wrestling, there is a lot of like concern trolling and faux outrage and all that stuff. But I mean, listen, there are a whole lot of people that feel like they aren't appropriately represented. And I think that's something you have to listen to, especially if it's being voiced to that degree.
Right. Of course. So yeah. And just maybe being a little bit more prepared for those kinds of questions too.
We had Bianca and Jade in a backstage vignette calling out the Sky Pirates. That happens next week. I love the use of video and vignettes to get people on the show, but not take a bunch of time. Because what it does is it prevents you from hitting their music, doing the entrance, putting a mic in their face, cutting the promo, doing the interrupting promo. Just do the challenge via a cool video that makes these two women that look like superheroes continue to look like superheroes. Really digging that. But Bad Robot says, SRS loved your Duckman mention on Twitter. Kind of want a double turn with Io Kairi and Jade and Bianca. I know SRS has never mentioned or has never mentioned Bianca wanting to be a cocky RVD type, not once. So I'll elaborate on that. I have always thought, whether it be Ricochet, Will Ospreay, Bianca Belair, I mean, honestly, you see it out of at Jade an awful lot. Like, Jade knows exactly how impressive she is. I always thought that someone like Ospreay or Ricochet or Bianca should do a gimmick where they're not like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be here. They should be like, no, I'm the shit and nobody can do anything to me. And I'm aware that nobody can do anything to me. I would love to see that. Cause when that turn happens, Denise, I want Bianca to be the heel at this point. Like, cause we haven't seen that on the main roster out of her yet.
Oh, yeah. Everybody definitely wants to see that. Again, it's a matter of, like, will it actually happen? I don't know. But I know that that would be very interesting because we haven't seen Bianca in that situation. But I was happy to hear that they accepted the match, to be honest. I forgot that they had even issued the challenge last week. I just completely forgot about it. So when they reminded us today on Smack on Raw, I was like, oh yeah, okay, cool. They're back to that. That's going to be a good match. So it's really just the thing where I'm like, I know it's going to be a good match. I'm not expecting a title change or anything like that, but I'll appreciate what we can get in the ring.
We have T-Sipper saying, my reaction as a black man, I know what he probably meant, but feel if you don't see color, you don't see my story. And again, that's why when I heard that, I did think immediately of what Cody said, because I mean, that is a natural thing for a white person to say when that type of situation is thrown their way and they feel like, well, no, that isn't something that affects my decision-making, but also it is something you have to weigh. It absolutely is. And the battles that person has been through on a personal basis. We had Natalya, Lyra, Zelina, Kaden, and Katana defeating the Unholy Union and the Pure Fusion Collective. On the run sheet that FightfulSelect.com reported on, it was scheduled for two segments, but unfortunately, one of those was the entrances. This is a situation where I'm like, put the entrances in picture-in-picture and go to a commercial and come back with like Natalya's music playing and then you hit the bell, because there were some cool spots very early in this match. But this was, again, a second match of the night that it's like, oh, it's over already? Like, we're already done? And I saw a very unfortunate series of comments when I'd mentioned that, and a lot of people were comparing it to Divas era stuff. Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that, because there were, within the first 12 seconds of this match, there were things that they would have never let quote-unquote divas do. How are you feeling about this?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I know 5-on-5 matches, it feels like, oh, we're just trying to get all the girls in. Let's just get this all in so that no one complains. Like, oh, there was only one woman segment or two matches or, I mean, sorry, two women on the show or something like that. So I kind of feel like that was maybe why this match was made. But then again, all of these women sort of have been in. They've sort of been feuding with each other. We've been getting different variations of these tag team matches with all of these people here that we saw in this 5-on-5. But I honestly kind of didn't hate the actual match, though. I had a good time with it. I thought that it was predictable. Everybody went in, had one spot, and then by the time we knew it, the match was over. But there were some good moments in this, though. Like, I did like, primarily, I thought Sonya Deville was probably my favorite person in this match, because I thought she went in there and she was just laying it in so much more than everybody else. There was one moment where she got Zelina with this really nasty knee. So I know people are saying, like, oh, you know, it's like Divas era is reminiscent of, but at the same time, we weren't really seeing them do stuff like this per se. So it is different, but it also feels like, here's the problem, and this is what I feel is personally the thing that's affecting a lot of it. In regards to the women's division on Raw, the story with the women is Rhea and Liv. Rhea and Liv is a story, and then everything else is jumbled into what you're seeing right here, right now. I personally feel that we need another single story between two other women here on the show to maybe feel like there's a little bit more depth, because for the women, it's just this. And people aren't hot on this. People aren't hot on the Pure Fusion Collective. Like, people have sort of turned the other way. And it primarily it has to do with the name, because I don't think they suck. They definitely don't suck. But honestly, I do think it's the name that turned a lot of people off. And here's the thing. You can kind of say something a little bit about everybody here, where it's like, okay, Katana Chance and Kaden Carter, they haven't done really anything with them. Unholy Union, they were champions, didn't really have them on the show. Pure Fusion Collection, people have turned the other direction. Zelina Vega's always put in the exact same spot. Lyra Valkyria was booked up for a little bit, but didn't really go anywhere after a certain while and was just thrown in with Katana and Kaden. Natalya goes in there, she has these matches, but hasn't had like any real massive stories. So what you have here is just a bunch of people that the people aren't really totally sold on. Like, there's not really anything to really grab onto here. And so therefore you can kind of like dismiss this and therefore kind of make it reminiscent of the Divas eras, where there's certain stories you just don't care about because they haven't given you a reason to care about certain individuals or the story itself or the group itself.
Yeah. It's people attack. It's like match happens, then an attack after the bell. And that's, or an attack backstage. There's not a lot of juice given to this. Well, guys, you got some juice last night if you bet on Rhea Ripley. I'll tell you why after we hear from Bet Online.
Whoa! You can bet on wrestling? Yeah, you can at Bet Online AG. We've given you a bunch of underdog picks over at Fightful since we started to work with Bet Online AG, but well before they were a partner, that's where we got our odds from for years. Whether it be major shows or your continental classics and other things like that, they always have a bunch of interesting odds for you over at BetOnline AG. But it's not just that. Payouts in minutes, high credit card acceptance, a safe and secure environment, and they've been trusted for over 25 years. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payouts, and the ability to bet on wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know so much about this, go put your money down. Go do it. Show the world. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can. BetOnline AG.
So we always run the BetOnline ad or BetOnline odds. I mean, we run the ads too, but all of the results have been hitting lately. There have not been many, if any, underdogs that have emerged victorious. They're very good at setting these lines, but again, that can also go to show you, if you're willing to put the amount of money that it takes for a winner to yield a return, go ahead and do it. But, Denise, Liv Morgan was the betting favorite for Bad Blood. And technically, because there was the snafu, the changed finish, if you bet on Rhea Ripley to win that match, you ended up winning and you took home some coin. And that's pretty cool. I love that. And, of course, BetOnline honors that. Love that. We were on a hot streak with all our underdog picks earlier this year. I think I had like 9. It's been getting a little bit tougher, but I mean, also that can be very good when they are that on the money with their odds. Please check out BetOnline AG. Jared says, no black men have been in the main event is not ideal, but I don't like how some people have been diminishing Bianca, Jade, Naomi's run at the top. Hashtag black girls rock. I don't think they're diminishing that. The specifics of it is there have not been any black male singles wrestlers on a PLE in 2 years. That's pretty noticeable. Oh, besides Snoop Dogg. Sorry. Snoop Dogg wrestled. Cody Rhodes is shown walking backstage. He also sees Sami Zayn. Sami's like, you know, I can talk to Kevin if you want. And he's like, no, let's not do that. I'm here to handle this, meaning the crown jewel situation. I am excited to hear your thoughts on the crown jewel situation, Denise. I liked the belt. I was surprised so many people hated the rule or the way they promoted this, because it's what we used to get at Survivor Series anyway. But now they add a little bit more stakes to it. It's less of an exhibition. But how did you feel? I know that you hate everything, even though people think that you love everything.
I don't even know what to say. All right, well, where do I begin? Well, because there was the whole thing that they had said there was going to be a historic announcement, right? So there is one element of this that I like. I like the element of seeing champion versus champion. Champion versus champion, I think, is cool. It's just very hard for me to care about the Crown Jewel Championship per se, because it really feels like, okay, the powers that be over in Saudi Arabia were like, we want something special just for us because we're paying you guys a bunch of money. So make our shows feel a little extra special. And let's make this Crown Jewel belt that is literally the size of JD McDonough's head.
And they've done this for a while, Denise. Greatest Royal Rumble, the best in the world, you know, that type of stuff. They've done this a few times.
Right. But it's just like, it feels, I don't know. I don't know how to say it. It's hard to say that I care about the belt. I'm looking forward to champion versus champion. And I more so care about who gets the loss and who doesn't. I care about the 1, 2, 3. Who's going to get that? That's what I care about. I don't care about the championship belt. I don't care about the Crown Jewel Championship belt. I care about, was Gunther going to defeat Cody or was Cody going to defeat Gunther? Because whoever wins, it's like, damn, you're going to be the dominant champion. That's going to say a whole lot. That's what I care about. I don't care about the championship belt. I care about who's 1, 2, 3. That element I do like, champion versus champion.
Well, we have hit the home stretch. We are at the main event, guys. Get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. Please leave us a thumbs up. We would greatly appreciate it. And as always, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Gunther defeated Sami Zayn clean. No Goldberg. Thank God. I was so worried about it. So worried that Goldberg was going to show up and hit a spear on Gunther and Zayn wins. And all due respect to Cody and Zayn, I want to watch Cody versus Gunther at Crown Jewel. I'm excited to see that match. That's a match that I figured could be a WrestleMania match, but it's like, how long is it going to be before they can do that WrestleMania match? So why not do it now?
Wait, so I have a question.
Okay.
Hold on. Sorry, I'm a little slow right now.
Anyway, Gunther beats Sami Zayn if you don't have the question.
If Cody wins the Crown Jewel Championship, right? But then let's say he loses his title. Is he still Crown Jewel Champion until the next Crown Jewel?
It's basically just a trophy. It's like an honorary trophy. It seems like it's going to be annually. But I would love it if he lost the world title and The Rock's out there making fun of him and Cody just whips out his Crown Jewel Championship like The Rock did with his dumbass People's Championship.
So then if it's a trophy, that means each winner would get a new Crown Jewel belt, or does it like get passed around?
Yeah. New one each time, I believe. I will say though, The Rock bringing out his own title belt reminds me of like when I worked on shindy shows. And people would bring like replica belts. And we were like, a guy got kicked off a show, Denise, because he brought a winged eagle title and tried to say that he was going to defend it on the show. And there, imagine that. Imagine a shindy in Kentucky being like, no, you are too shindy for us. You can't do this. And like we were sitting there in disbelief, like, what are you doing? And like none of us, like the 15 of us, we couldn't believe it. And The Rock is just strolling in with his title belt. Like he won it.
Is a shindy a shit indie?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, making sure.
Tony says, thank you both for fostering safe spaces to discuss in wrestling. You both are wonderful. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. So and again, always, that's the kind of audience we want for Fightful and Fightful Select. But Gunther defeats Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn came close. There is a spot that I don't mind. It's the powerbomb, clothesline, powerbomb again, kick out at one. There's going to be a whole lot of people that have criticized this same spot happening in AEW and the Indies. They're going to be completely fine with it. I'm fine with it anyway, but you're going to see a lot of people moving the goalposts for this. I think it's great. I think it shows Sami Zayn was, you know, getting himself up for this spot. He felt like he has Gunther's number. Gunther can't put him away, and Gunther sold it great. Choked him out, put him to sleep, and Gunther wins clean. I really enjoyed this match. Wasn't as good as their first one, obviously. But listen, it's WrestleMania, okay? And this is a Raw in October up against a Kansas City Chiefs game. I think it was damn good.
I was surprised by how many people might have expected a title change here. I definitely wasn't. I felt like this was pretty predictable, but I almost didn't really care too much only because I really, really liked the in-ring work from Gunther and Sammy. I think they just have such great chemistry, in-ring chemistry with each other. They really, really do. I mean, they brought so much energy to this match. Everything that they did, the chops, the strikes, everything was so fun in this match. So for me, I feel like we got a really good Raw main event, a great defense for Gunther, our champion. And I was also, no offense to Sammy, but I did want to see Cody versus Gunther at Crown Jewel. That's what I was intrigued by. And I almost wish that they didn't run. They kind of seemed like they ran out of time to really, really let that moment with Gunther and Cody soak in, because Cody comes out afterwards and they had this very quick, like they just had a second, like Cody took off his belt. He didn't even have a chance to like put that thing up in the air and bam, it was over. The show was over. We go to the next thing that USA is airing. So I was a little bummed in that we didn't get to like really soak the moment in, but I'm interested to see, hey, is Cody going to defeat Gunther? Is Gunther going to defeat Cody? I'm going to go with Cody defeating Gunther, of course, but it's going to be the interest. I'm intrigued by the champion versus champion, minus the Crown Jewel championship, though, please.
Do you think Goldberg costs Cody or costs Gunther the magic Crown Jewel?
Sean, don't even put that out there.
I don't want him to. But listen, WWE at its heart, even though we are in a much different place than we were years ago,
I can see it happening at Crown Jewel. And it's a nice paycheck for Goldberg. Yeah, I can see that. I can see them booking it like that for Crown Jewel. They tend to get away with things over there, man. Like, they tend to be doing all sorts of random booking decisions at Crown Jewel.
And listen, bet his son is there with him too, because the Colorado Buffaloes have a bye week that week. That's the football team he plays for. Just saying.
Wait, what? Say that again.
Goldberg's son plays for the Colorado Buffaloes.
But what were you saying, that the game's happening where?
It's their bye week, so they don't play that Saturday. So,
so you're saying Sundberg, he's available.
Yeah, Sundberg could be there with him. I wish Goldberg's son would ask Deion Sanders to come back and play for the Bengals or something. Like, we desperately need secondary help, but... Rafael Garcia sent in a humper chat and said, "You can't trick me. I played SmackDown versus Raw 2010. This is the champions versus champions of champions shtick they did in that WrestleMania mechanic. Lazy." Somebody had asked on the Q&A show on Fightful Select this week, like, "Oh, do they have input?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, Saudi Arabia has some input, but they've also asked for Yokozuna once." And like, I get it. I want Yokozuna back too. I would love to have him back, but we ain't getting him. So go figure. I remember when that happened. I told Fala Ba, I was like, "Man, if I was you, I'd be telling TNA to pay up, or I'm just going to go dress as Yokozuna in Saudi Arabia one time."
Yo, for that money, I'd be like, "Bro, go get your paycheck, man. Go get paid. People got bills, you know?"
Denise, tell the people where they can find you.
YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo. I have like a million streams coming up, so go check it out.
Likewise, guys. Obviously, tonight, WWE Raw. Tomorrow, we have a dual show, same time, NXT, AEW. On Wednesday, we are back for The Hump. And also, we got the Stephanie Chase prediction show. Thursday, we're going to be here for the ROH TNA post show. Friday, it's post-SmackDown. Saturday, it's Grapsody, as well as Wrestle Dream. Until next time, guys, we're out.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.